Well, it's good to be here at Ohana 2010 and here in Seattle. And Debbie had asked me to share a little bit about this question, who is a navigator? You know, and you see all these people up here with question marks on their face. And sometimes that can be a mysterious question. Who's a navigator? Who are these navigators? Well, the first thing I want to say, just as we start out, is that a navigator is not somebody that decides to come on full-time staff or paid staff with some organization. That's not what it takes to be a navigator. Now, while there's a number of us in this room that happen to get paid by the navigators and play a key role in different ways in this thing that we see God doing through the navigators, the majority of people who would call themselves navigators or who would consider themselves navigators are people that have all kinds of different jobs that pay the bills, right? And that's really the majority of people who would call themselves navigators are not paid staff. So we have to ask the question, if that's true, then what is a navigator or who is a navigator? And that's what we'll spend a few minutes here, and hopefully we'll have a little bit more clarity on that when I get done, since that's what Debbie asked me to do, than when we just started. Well, some of you have probably heard of this calling statement. A number of years ago, an international gathering of people came up with this as one of the statements that would reflect who are these navigators? And you can see some key words up there that when you see them, at least for me, it causes my heart to beat faster. We're people who advance the gospel of Jesus and his kingdom. Gospel advance, Jesus and his kingdom. Where? Into the nations. You know, and there's those of us in this room, our heart beats even quicker we read that line. Through spiritual generations of laborers, living and discipling, where? Among the lost. So certainly when we think about who's a navigator, this statement, this calling statement, you know, pops up on the screen. Then there's these core values. And what I'm going to get you involved here. What I want to do is we're going to have a little exercise later where I want to be able to remember these without them being up on the screen. So as I put each one of them, there's 9 core values that the navigators hold dear. And these also came out of that a couple international gatherings back in 2002 or so. And what I want to do is, as we go through these, is just call out what are 2 or 3 words that really reflect each one of these statements, okay? And just so you know ahead of time, I'm going to assign some people to remember, you know, core value number 1 and those 3 words, okay? What are 1 or 2 or 3 words that pop out at you here that could be a summary of this one statement? The passion to know, love, and become like Jesus Christ. Give it a shot. There we go. Thanks, Rob. Remember, become like Jesus. Okay, see, that was very simple. Okay, so this is not going to be hard. The truth and sufficiency of the Scriptures for the whole of life.
God's word is enough.
Okay, God's word is enough. And your name?
Rico.
Rico, can you remember number 2? God's word is enough. And you're going to have to remember this for a while, so, okay, so. The transforming power of the gospel.
The gospel transforms.
Great. Okay, if you can remember that one. Got it? The leading and empowering of the Holy Spirit.
Spirit power.
All right. Thanks, Jason. You're going to remember that. That's number 4. Expectant faith, persevering prayer, rooted in the promises of God. It's a long one. This is the most challenging one, I think. Okay, who can take that one? Okay, say that again. Expectant, persevering promise. And you'll remember that one for me? Okay, great. The dignity and value of every person. The worth of the individual. You'll remember that one? Great. Love and grace expressed among us in community. Love and community. I was guessing Wednesday was going to speak up on that one. Families and relational networks in discipling the nations.
Organic world changing.
Organic world changing. Okay, Tom. Thanks. You can ask him later where that came from, but I'm sure he has an answer. Interdependent relationships in the body of Christ in advancing the gospel.
Working together.
Great. Thanks, George. Bailed me out. Okay, so who is a navigator? Well, a navigator is someone that when we read our calling statement, their heart beats faster. When they have these values in their hearts, right? Well, let me tell you a little bit about my story. I really probably became a navigator without knowing it when I was a college student. I wasn't connected to an organization, but these values and that vision was passed on to me. I had some men and women that were around me that were older students who were talking about these kind of things that we just got done talking about. And we listened to this tape of a message called Born to Reproduce by this guy named Dawson Trotman. Now, I didn't know who Dawson Trotman was. I didn't know who the navigators were, but wow, that message really grabbed my heart. And it talked about passing your life on to other people, right? And I went on a trip with a mentor friend of mine, someone who was investing in my life. And we went out to Southern California, and this is Newport Beach, actually. And there on Newport Beach, we were having a quiet time. And I opened my Bible up to Genesis, and I would just happen to be in Genesis 22 and was reading. And in Genesis 22, verse 17 and 18, says, "Surely I will bless you and make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations will be blessed because you've obeyed me." Now, I was a sophomore in college, and I had my Bible open, and I read that verse, and there was a lot of sand around me. That sand right there. And it was as if God was speaking to me and said, "Done. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your descendants as much as the sand and the seashore." And you know, that was a promise made to Abraham that through Christ is true for all of us. It's really not an individual promise. It's a corporate promise to those who God will impact. His people. Through Abraham, it was Israel. And then beyond Israel, through Christ, it was us. Those of us that are in this room. That God is saying to us that He wants to use us to populate the world with worshipers, followers of Jesus. So I became a navigator when I was a college student, but I really didn't know it. Because a navigator is not about being part of an organization. It's not about being paid by someone. It's a set of promises. It's a set of values. It's a vision that captures your life. You know, very similar to, well, and let me just tell you, even out of our college days, Pam and my college days, we went to Texas Christian University, and out of those college days, I had come to faith, we had gotten this vision, and there's people today that we know of. There's Stu, who's an attorney in Fort Worth. And he's living his life to disciple others. He serves in his local church. But he's got a vision to see his life count through generations. There's Bill and Paula who live in Kansas City, and they've had all kinds of different jobs. But the passion of their hearts has been to serve people and to invest in people's lives, to see people come to faith and to see a ripple effect of the gospel. There was Rhonda who ended up marrying Spencer, who happened to be working among an unreached group of people in Indonesia. And their life's passion has been to see God use their life for the sake of generations, or for the sake of the nations. There's Mary Ellen, who is, through the years, has discipled young mothers in her local church. So just everyday people. You know, you can read, flip over, if you have your Bible there, flip over to Acts 16. You know, most of the heroes of the faith are not superstars. They're everyday people whom God uses. And I love in Acts chapter 16, Paul shows up in Philippi. There's probably not a synagogue, so he goes to a place of prayer where there's a bunch of women gathered. Verse 14, Acts 16, verse 14. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, who was a seller of purple cloth, a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. She says, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This businesswoman, Lydia, becomes the foundation for the church in Philippi. Isn't that cool? She wasn't a superstar. She was just an everyday person that God touched. And he began to use her. You know, when Paul and Silas got out of prison after that story of them being released miraculously from prison, where do they end up going? Back to Lydia's house, where they met with the brethren, with the brothers who encouraged them. And so there was already a gathering of the followers of Jesus in Lydia's house. This everyday person. You know, you read in Romans 16, at the end of Romans 16, where Paul begins to greet a bunch of different people. You wonder, who are all these people? It says, greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena, Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. You know, he mentions Perses, Rufus, talks about a bunch of people with real hard names who I won't try right here. But all these people, well, who were they? They were not superstars. They were not paid professional. They were everyday people whom God was using as a conduit for the gospel. In our vision statement, actually Mike Trenier sent this out to a bunch of people worldwide recently, and he took this excerpt out of our vision statement. And this really reflects to a large degree who we are as navigators. Listen to this. Ordinary people in many walks of life are joyfully leading integrated lives. They live as fruitful insiders among the lost. The gospel spreads naturally and powerfully as believers share Christ, life upon life, family upon family. Crossing cultures into new cities and nations, teams of mobile pioneers intentionally proclaim and embody the good news of Jesus Christ. The leaders of this movement, and by the way, when we use that phrase, leaders of this movement, we're not talking again about paid people, we're talking about leaders. Leaders of this movement. New generation of leaders are emerging, rooted incarnationally in their local and national contexts. So there again, another picture of who the navigators are. Well, here in closing, I'm going to share three metaphors that describe who we are and what we're believing God for. So three metaphors that describe who the navigators are, the passion of our heart. Okay? The first one is this. Sand. Increase. Genesis 22, 17 and 18. Surely I'll bless you and make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. How do navigators join God in bringing increase? We build deeply into the lives of a few with the hope of seeing generations through their lives. And many of you in this room are a reflection of that. Someone has invested in you. Someone has taken you under their wing. We heard it last night so many times in Francis's testimony and in others' testimonies of the Medicos partnering together, coming alongside. So we join God by building deeply in other people's lives. You know, a story for my life is this guy, Jim Howie, who I met when he was 15 years old, weighed about 100 pounds. A stiff wind would have blown him away. And we began to walk together. Pam and I were helping out with a youth ministry, and we got to know Jim. And we built into his life. And today, Jim is a businessman in Denver. And he's investing in other people's lives. He uses the context of his life, his business, to see the gospel advance. He doesn't have to move anywhere, do anything differently. He just uses who he is in the context of his life to live out the navigator calling. You know, and he and his wife Marcy also live it out in their family. They have two young guys, Bobby and Matthew, who are about this tall, who they hope someday will really walk with Jesus and pass it on. So sand. A second metaphor is a ripple. It's the value of each person. As a young believer, someone pointed out to me the power of 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Where God said, or where Paul says to Timothy, and God speaks to us today, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be able to teach others also." It's a ripple of the grace of God. And what does that mean? That God can use anyone. It's a ripple that touches every person. It's not a ripple that just touches somebody that has a certain personality, a certain gifting, is a certain kind of wild person. You know, it's not just a ripple that touches the George McBrides of the world, although we're glad for that, George, and John, and Francis. The wild men. But it's a ripple that touches people with every kind of gift, every kind of contribution, every kind of personality. The qualifications are not the super talented, the super gifted, the super successful, the winsome. No. Reliable people. The faithful people. And faithfulness comes in all shapes and sizes. Doesn't that feel good to know that? That there's a place even for me in what God's doing. You know, I think of a story of God's grace in one of our ministries. In one of the cities in the U.S., we have a ministry to prisoners, really, to the incarcerated and to addicts. People who are captive, have been captive both physically in prisons, in dungeons, like in Isaiah 61 talks about the effects of God's grace, is that the captives are released and prisoners are released from the dungeons of darkness. And we actually have ministries around the U.S. where that's happening. And I'll change the name here, but there's a story of Chris, who was incarcerated for much of his life and was an addict. And by God's grace, he was set free. And in the context of this ministry in this city, this navigator movement, Chris gets help that he needs. He has someone spiritually take him under his wing and empower him to be able to be useful. He wasn't passed over. He wasn't, oh well, you don't quite have it, what it takes. Why? Because the ripple of God's grace touches everywhere and touches every person. And Chris ends up being reunited with his wife Liz after being divorced and separated for years, because the gospel transforms and restores and brings people back to him and changes their life. And Chris began to help others. Others who had been in the same kind of captivity, in the same kind of dungeons that he was in. So we as navigators value seeing a ripple effect of the gospel because of God's grace that allows people to know him and be useful to him. So sand, a ripple, sand that increases through investing in the few, a ripple that impacts every person, and finally, a tapestry, a masterpiece of God's hand. Ephesians 2:10 in the New Living Translation says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he's planned for us long ago." And interesting, right after that, in Ephesians chapter 2, you know what he starts talking about? The nations. He talks about the fact that this isn't a good news that's just for the Jews. It's good news for the nations. This masterpiece, this tapestry, is a beautiful picture of God bringing together all kinds of different threads. All the diversity of his creation in the nations to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Last night, Debbie mentioned this word, kumihimo. You remember her talking about that? The woven, I guess it was the samurai sword would go in it, but it was this woven thing, diverse threads that came together that created something powerful and useful. Well, that's what God's doing here. It's his diversity. It's him creating a masterpiece that reflects all the diversity of the world. And that's another thing that we as the navigators value. God's creation. God, the reflection of God's glory through every nation, tribe, people, and language. So, who is a navigator? Are you a navigator? Remember, it's not someone that's on staff. It's not someone that's gone through some kind of certain Bible study. It's not someone with a certain gifting or personality. Or it's not even someone with a certain organizational allegiance. A navigator is someone that resonates with our calling. It's someone who has in their hearts those same values that we talked about earlier. And now's your time. Is everyone ready? Those 9 values. The first value is... Okay, becoming like Jesus. Does that make your heart beat a little faster? What's the second one?
Believing God's word is enough.
Believing that God's word is enough. What was the third one?
The gospel transforms.
That the gospel transforms, and we need it. Number four?
Spirit power.
Spirit power. Number five? Got the whole thing even. Good. The sixth one?
The worth of the individual.
The worth of the individual. Yes. That the ripple hits everybody. Number 7? Love and community. 8?
Organic world changer!
And number 9? Working together. Great. Those things beat in our heart. And then those three metaphors. Are you someone that wants to see God use you to increase His glory generationally as you invest in a few people? Are you someone that you want God to use you to be part of His ripple effect that will touch everyone around you by His grace? Are you someone that wants to see God use you to bring together that tapestry, that beautiful reflection of His diversity? All nations, all tribes, all people, all languages. Then my guess is, you're a navigator. And we're glad that you're here with us and that you're walking with us. Let me pray for you. Father, I do pray that you would have your hand on each and every one here, and that by your grace, you would cause your promise to Abraham to be fulfilled. Lord, that we would see your blessing, and that we would see descendants as many as the stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore. And Lord, through us here, all nations on earth will be blessed because we obey you. And we pray in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Copyright by The Navigators, 2013, all rights reserved.